RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, highlight, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news, jointly broadcast by RRI Batam. Here is the news, read by Ania Sana. First, the headlines. Indonesia celebrates the World Mental Health Day. Dutch cyclist champions stage 7 of the Tour de Singkarak. And now the news in detail. The world celebrates the World Mental Health Day on October the 10th every year. This year, the World Federation for Mental Health sets the theme Dignity in Mental Health. In Indonesia, the theme is adopted as towards dignified mental health services. Director of Mental Health at Ministry of Health, Eka Fiora, in a show Meet the Media on the 2015 National Mental Health Day said, in Jakarta on Friday, that the theme was chosen as a rallying cry and a call to eliminate stigma, discrimination, and marginalization of people with psychic problems and people with mental disorders.
Kita mengangkat temanya adalah menuju pelayanan kesehatan jiwa yang
bermartabat. We raised the theme towards dignified mental health services because we still see the main services that we are still far away from things that can meet the needs of people with mental health problems. So dignity is not only in terms of providing services, but how it can be present in every need with mental disorder people, ranging from promotive, preventive, curative, and rehabilitative efforts.
Promotive, preventive, curative, and rehabilitative.
Eka Viora added, people with mental problems and people with mental disorders are susceptible to the problem of violence physically and emotionally, both in the community and healthcare facilities. This is because of a lack of caring and lack of competent health workers, as well as limited access to mental health services. Eka further said the rights of the people with mental problems and people with mental disorder are often neglected both socially and legally. Eka said that based on data from the Basic Health Research or RISKESDA in 2013, the rate of severe mental disorders was by 0.17%, while the number of emotional disorders was 4.6% of the total population of Indonesia. While globally, the figure for severe mental disorder was 1.3% and 10% for emotional disorders. To commemorate the World Mental Health Day, the Ministry of Health has been organizing a series of events since September 28 to October 11, such as Sports and Creative Arts Week of Mental Rehabilitation Hospitals across Indonesia, Mental Projection Week, and Mental Health Film Festival. While on October 11, which is the peak of the event of the World Mental Health Day, there will be the launching of Android applications for mental health free consultation, Muri breaking records for painting by most people with mental disorder, etc. That cyclist Thomas Rabo becomes the fastest in the seventh stage of Tour de Singkarak on Friday, October the 9th. The ATAC team Gusto cyclist touched down finish line in 3 hours, 3 minutes and 35 seconds. Meanwhile, Philippine cyclist Marcelo Felipe followed in the second place by finishing in 3 hours, 7 minutes and 47 seconds. and Marcelo booked same time record with his compatriot Damien Monier, who claims the third place. Arfin Mouzami Gourdazi from Iran kept both the yellow and polka dot jersey with 23 hours 22 minutes 37 seconds record after surviving teammate Amir Zargari, who closely trailing him with only 1 minute 42 second time difference. The seventh stage of the Tour de Singkarak feature 123.5 kilometers distance from Pasaman Regency to West Pasaman Regency. As many as 74 cyclists took part in the race. In the Indonesian corner, Dadi Suryadi from Pegasus Continental Cycling Team continued to lead by recording 23 hours 36 minutes 10 seconds. Dadi finished at the fourth place in this stage. This news comes to you over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, and jointly broadcast by RRI Batam. Bandung City Administration received £4.6 million or around $5.1 million worth of grant from Netherlands-based drinking water company Vitens Evides International. The fund was officially received by the city administration during a cooperation agreement signing at the Bandung Command Theater. At the Bandung Command Center, Bandung Mayor Ridwan Kamil said at the City Hall on Friday, he added that the city would improve services provided by the local tap water company as well as to develop infrastructures related to drinking water processing and clean water pipes. Vitens Evides International CEO Marco Schouten said that the cooperation with the city administration would last for 3 years. During the period, both parties would work together to improve tools, reduce leakage, improve production, and deliver better services to customers. Marco added that his company would conduct supervision on the program in order to achieve international standard, and he said his party will monitor the program. He added the Netherlands will assign a personnel who can speak Indonesia to stay in Bandung and help with the supervision task. The implementation of ASEAN free market at the end of this year enables the country to easily sell goods and services to other countries in ASEAN region that creates competitive market. For that reason, students and Indonesian people in the USA are given insight so that they can participate in it later. It will be presented on the Economic Seminar on next 7 November 2015. The seminar, initiated by America Indonesia Student Union, or PERMIAS, in New York, is to increase people's knowledge about economic development, law, and politics in the homeland. Mira Irawan, chairwoman of the PERMIAS New York, explained, information of home country is crucial in to increase people's contribution and to measure achievement of economic development and as description of economic growth by within a country. The seminar to be held in Indonesian Consulate General in New York will present Marielka Pangestu, former Indonesian Trade Minister for the period of 2004-2011, and head of Indonesian Bank New York, Erwin Haryono. And the last item, Deputy Senior Governor of Bank Indonesia, Mirja Aditya Suara, stated in Jakarta on Friday that the Indonesian rupiah strengthening against the US dollar in the past few days was caused not only by external factors, but also by domestic economic fundamentals. He said that by Friday, the rupiah strengthened by up to 4.4%, higher than the Malaysian ringgit at 3.4%. Korean won at 1.2%, Taiwanese dollar at 1.2%, and Thailand baht at 0.4%. Admittedly, the release of some weaker than expected United States economic data in September, which will likely force the Fed to postpone an interest rate hike to early next year, has contributed to the strengthening of the rupiah. He added the rupiah's appreciation was only contributed by domestic factors, even as the government has issued debureaucratization and deregulation packages. Bank Indonesia will remain prudent in maintaining the monetary sector and will issue a policy to stabilize rupiah. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesia celebrates the World Mental Health Day. that cyclist champion stage 7 of the Tour de Singkarak. And listener, that was the news.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the Week in Press Review. A variety of important events that occurred this week are summarized in the Week Press Review. I'll begin with Kompas Daily, which in its editorial on Wednesday, October the 7th, writes, maintaining the strengthening rupiah momentum. Sluggish economic climate slowly started moving toward a hopeful direction. The indicator is very visible, especially in the strengthening of the rupiah against the US dollar. In the last 2 days, the rupiah strengthened significantly, a trend that has never been seen before even in the last 7 months. On Monday, for example, rupiah was traded at 14,503 rupiahs per US dollar or rose 105 points compared to the previous day's trading. This trend continued yesterday when the currency was able to penetrate the range of 14,200 rupiahs per dollar. Kompas Daily writes that the strengthening of rupiah is very significant and phenomenal since it gained more than 300 points. According to this daily, people should be grateful that after teetering for 7 months, a signal that re-stimulation of Indonesian economic climate finally appeared. The weak exchange rate over the years has been used as an indicator of the bearish economic climate. With the significant strengthening of the rupiah, automatically it has also reinforced market optimism. In that regard, Kompas Daily appreciates the steps that the government that launched, namely the second phase of the economic policy package, and was greeted positively by the market. With careful and appropriate measures, this positive momentum can be the turning point and at the same time alleviating Indonesia's economy from the doldrums. Over now to Tempo newspaper, which in its editorial on Wednesday writes, Stop Bambang's case. President Joko Widodo should not hesitate to take a stand in the case of former Vice Chairman of the Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, Bambang Wijanarko. A total of 72 academics from various universities and 44 clerics from various areas last week sent a letter to the president. They urged President Joko Widodo to intervene in the case of Bambang. According to them, there is not sufficient reason to continue the case to trial. Criminalization of KPK leaders and activists of the anti-corruption must be stopped. According to Koran Tempo, because the case has been in the Attorney General office, President Joko Widodo can intervene to stop the case. The most appropriate legal mechanism at this level is the cessation of prosecution. President already promised to provide solution that does not embarrass one of the parties, the prosecutor or the police, but the decision should be expedited. It is necessary to be done by the president so that the prolonged debate on the case can be resolved. At the same time, the president could demonstrate a firm stance in efforts to combat corruption and prevent action that impede or hamper them. I end the Week in Press Review with Suara Pembaruan newspaper, which in its editorial on Tuesday, October the 6th, writes, Permanent Solution for Forest Burning. Thick smoke that blanketed parts of Sumatra and Kalimantan due to forest fires has repeated again. This year, the disaster is more severe than in previous years. South Sumatra, Jambi, Riau, Central Kalimantan, West Kalimantan, and South Kalimantan all have been covered with dense smoke. It is estimated that more than 50,000 hectares of forest land has been on fire, possibly deliberately burnt, since entering the dry season this year or since around March to April. The impact of El Niño this year resulted in a longer dry season and will continue until November. If traced back, catastrophic smoke appeared along with the presence of corporations in forest management, both for industrial plantations and conversion to oil palm plantations. Indication of intentional forest fires are strengthening in line with the facts findings on the ground. National Disaster Management Agency even launched a report that about 99% of forest fires in Indonesia is intentional. According to Suara Pembaruan, law enforcement measures should not cease and should be without compromise. Corporations proven to have burned the land must be dealt with firmly. The government must also dare to revoke the license of forest management. A permanent solution must be formulated. Rules and regulations should be made more forcefully, including the prevention and strict sanctions against anyone proven to burn the forest. Well, that was the week in press review over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on October 10, 1911, about the Xinhai Revolution. Listener, the Xinhai Revolution, or the Xinhai Revolution, also known as the Revolution of 1911, or the Chinese Revolution, was a revolution that overthrew China's last imperial dynasty, the Qing Dynasty, and established the Republic of China, ROC. The revolution was named Xinhai because it occurred in 1911, the year of the Xinhai stem branch in the sexagenary cycle of the Chinese calendar. The revolution consisted of many revolts and uprisings. The turning point was the Wuchang Uprising on October 10, 1911. That was the result of the mishandling of the railway protection movement. The revolution ended with the abdication of the 6-year-old last emperor, Puyi, on February 12, 1912, that marked the end of 2,000 years of imperial rule and the beginning of the China's early republican era, 1912-1916. The Republic of China in Taiwan and the People's Republic of China on the mainland consider themselves the legitimate successors to the Xinhai Revolution and revere the ideals of the China and national unity. October 10 is commemorated in Taiwan as Double 10 Day, the National Day of the ROC. In mainland China, Hong Kong and Macau, the same day is usually celebrated as the anniversary of the Xinhai Revolution. Many overseas Chinese also celebrate the anniversary in Chinatowns across the world. And the next event was in 2002 when the World Coalition Against the Death Penalty was established. The World Coalition Against the Death Penalty is an alliance of NGOs, bar associations, local bodies, and unions whose aim is to strengthen the international dimension of the fight against the death penalty. The World Coalition lobbies international organizations and states, organizes international events, and facilitates the creation and development of national and regional coalitions against the death penalty. It was created in Rome on May 13, 2002, and has established 10 October as the date of the annual World Day Against the Death Penalty. And the last event was in 2005 when Angela Merkel was elected as chancellor. On May 30, 2005, Angela Merkel won the CDU-CSU nomination as challenger to Chancellor Gerhard Schröder of the SPD in the 2005 national elections. On September 18, 2005, Merkel's CDU-CSU and Schröder's SPD went head-to-head in the national elections. Neither the SPD-Green coalition nor the CDU-CSU and its preferred coalition partners, the Free Democratic Party, held enough seats to form a majority in the Bundestag, and both Schröder and Merkel claimed victory. A grand coalition between the CDU-CSU and SPD faced the challenge that both parties demanded the chancellorship. However, after 3 weeks of negotiations, the two parties reached a deal whereby Merkel would become chancellor and the SPD would hold 8 of the 16 seats in the cabinet. The coalition deal was approved by both parties at party conferences on November 14, 2005. Merkel was elected chancellor by the majority of delegates in the newly assembled Bundestag on November 22, 2005. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Last Wednesday, October the 7th, the government announced the third economic policy package. This is the theme of Focus today. To cope with the impact of economic slowdown, on Wednesday, October the 7th, the government launched the third stage of economic policy package. This complemented the second package that had been in effect last September. Through the previous two policy packages, the government launched deregulations to improve the business climate and simplify business licensing. This time, the government added one more thing besides facility and clarity in business. There is also cost reduction. Economic Policy Package Phase 3 covers three areas of policy. First, a decrease in electricity rates and the price of oil and gas fuel. Second, the expansion of people business credit receivers. Thirdly, the simplification of land permit for investment activities. The third package of economic policy has been welcomed by employers. Chairman of Textile Business Association, Ade Sudrajat, believes the government policies this time have met the expectation of employers. He explained that the textile entrepreneurs who mostly run the industry 24 hours per day can maximize this new tariff by increasing productivity at night. According to him, government measures related to electricity tariff will make a lot of textile workers who lost their jobs can return to work. About 30,000 workers would be reassigned, mostly in the night shift, said Ade Sudrajat. According to data from Textile Association, as many as 36,000 of the 2.7 million of textile workers in Indonesia were laid off as a result of the recent economic slowdown. But according to economist Lana Sulistianingsih, the decline in the price of fuel, gas, and electricity are not effective enough to rapidly increase people's purchasing power, which have already weakened because the target are manufacturers. So this program, according to Lana, will only have an impact in the long run. Well, that was Focus Today over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, coming up next, here is our today's headlines taken from several dailies published in Jakarta, Saturday, October 10, 2015. We start from Kompas Daily, which in its headline wrote, "People is moving to refuse revision." Listener, people in some areas on Friday, October the 9th, started to move to reject the revised plan of Law No. 30 of 2002 on the Corruption Eradication Commission, KEPK, proposed by a number of members of the House of Representatives, or DPR. The revision was considered to be debilitating, even kill the authority of the commission. That effort is clearly visible as in the draft revision of the Law Commission, which is distributed in the plenary meeting of the legislative body on Tuesday, which, among others, mentioned that the commission will be dissolved in 12 years after the Draft Plan Act was enacted, and the commission can only handle cases with state losses of over 50 billion. Meanwhile, Tempo writes in its headline, "The government wants the Corruption Eradication Commission, KEPK, to be periodically evaluated." Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla and Minister of Justice and Human Rights Yasona Lawli proposed to conduct periodic evaluation on the Corruption Eradication Commission, KEPK. Yusuf Kalla said after meeting with Yasona Lawli in his office yesterday, the commission had to be evaluated, for example, 5 or 10 years. Yusuf Kalla stated he rejected if the commission is only used as a prevention agency. But he stressed that the commission still needs to be evaluated and monitored regularly. Although it is an ad hoc body, said Yusuf Kalla, the Corruption Eradication Commission, KEPK, should not be easily dismissed. And we end today's headline with Media Indonesia, which writes, "Foreign assistances are coming." Indonesian government's decision to accept foreign assistance to handle the disaster smoke is welcomed by many countries. Since a few days ago, Indonesia received assistance offers from neighboring countries. Ministry of Foreign Affairs said that five countries, namely Australia, Russia, Malaysia, and China, have declared to send aid immediately. The government of Singapore and Malaysia even have started to deliver the aid. The government of Singapore sent a Chinook helicopter and Bambi bucket capable of carrying 5,000 liters of water on Friday, October the 9th, at 3 p.m. from Singapore directly to Palembang. While Malaysia prepares delivery of one CL-415 water bombing and a C-130 Hercules aircraft carrying crews, forest fires and land extinguishing equipment. And listener, that was headlines.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Listener, coming up next, here is our news in brief. The world celebrates the World Mental Health Day on October 10 every year. This year, the World Federation for Mental Health sets the theme Dignity in Mental Health. In Indonesia, the theme is adopted as towards a dignified mental health services. That cyclist Thomas Rabo becomes the fastest in the seventh stage of Tour de Singkarak on Friday, October 9. The attack team Gusto cyclist touched down finish line in 3 hours, 3 minutes and 35 seconds. Bandung City Administration received $4.6 million or around $5.1 million worth of grant from Netherlands-based drinking water company Vitens Evidence International. The implementation of ASEAN Free Market at the end of this year enables the country to easily sell goods and services to other countries in ASEAN region that creates competitive market. For that reason, students and Indonesian people in the USA are given insight so that they can participate in it later. Deputy Senior Governor of Bank Indonesia, Mirza Ali Tiaswara, stated in Jakarta on Friday that the Indonesian rupiah strengthening against the US dollar in the past few days was caused not only by external factors, but also by domestic economic fundamentals. And listener, that was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at www.voi.go.id. Listener, it is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, special food, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to pisang mulut bebek, or literally means duck mouth banana, a typical food from Halmahera, Maluku. So stay tuned. Listener, when other agencies in Halmahera give mining licenses to add their regional income, West Halmahera region hopes pisang mulut bebek can become regional primadona and supports local people without destroying the nature. Pisang mulut bebek, or literally means duck mouth banana, is one of food products of West Halmahera, which has received International Organic Certificate nomination. This banana has potential to be developed commercially without damaging the forest. Listener, pisang mulut bebek or duck mouth banana can be found in West and North Halmahera. This banana will not grow well outside Halmahera region. It is named mulut bebek banana because it has a slim and long curved shape like mulut bebek or the duck mouth. Its peel never changes to be yellow color although it has been ripe. Mulut bebek banana has tough and chewy texture with astringent and sweet taste without high water content, makes this banana is also suitable to be used as side dishes. Listener, mulut bebek banana, also called mulu bebe by Maluku people, can also be fried to be side dishes accompanied by guraka, favorite beverage of Halmahera people. Guraka water is beverage made from ginger water and palm sugar, which is spread by walnuts. It is delicious if you drink it when still hot. The deep black color from palm sugar signs how sweet the beverage is. If you do not like sweet taste, this beverage probably is not suitable for your tongue. Guraka water is more delicious if you add it with sweetened condensed milk. Listener, the taste of fried mulut bebek banana cannot be easily forgotten. The banana is cut in flat shape. Then it is fried in hot oil. In the meantime, you have to provide 1 glass of water, which has been mixed with salt. The banana which is fried is spread with 1 spoon of salt water. It is fried until dried and crispy. This fried banana can be eaten with dabu-dabu condiment, a Maluku typical condiment. To make dabu-dabu condiment is very easy. It is made from tomato, chili, roasted shrimp paste, a little bit red onion, and coconut oil. You will surely enjoy the salty fried banana combined with dabu-dabu condiment. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring pisang mulut bebek or duck mouth banana from Halmahera, Maluku. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing the World Mental Health Day. So stay tuned in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this broadcast through www.voi.co.id. Mental health is part of the human life that must be maintained in order to stay healthy. Mental health problems is indeed a serious problem. World Health Organization, or WHO, in 1990 reported from 10 major health problems that causes a person's inability to interact with others, 5 are mental health problems, namely depression, alcoholism, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, and obsessive-compulsive. WHO also predicted that by 2020, depression will be the second in the disease posing a health burden. According to Professor Askobat Ghani, in 2005, mental disorders reached 13.8% of the total disease burden in Indonesia. Therefore, people in big cities should have a strong mental health. If not, then they could be mentally ill. Data from Director of Mental Health, Ministry of Health, stated that Jakarta people are vulnerable to mental illness. This was due to mental, psychological, and emotional stresses in big cities such as Jakarta, which is big enough, starting from economic pressures, competitiveness, and so on. Unfortunately, the government's attention on mental illness is not significant. The ratio between the number of people or patients with mental health problem and the infrastructure and facilities can still be said to be far from expectations. In Jakarta, there are only 2 psychiatric hospitals belonging to the regional government of Jakarta. Others are private clinics and asylums. Not surprisingly, many individuals who are mentally ill can be found wandering in the streets and kept in restriction by their family. Today, mental health condition of all people in the whole world is a major concern of WHO, as has been proven by the decision to set October the 10th as World Mental Health Day. Unfortunately, not many healthy people who care about mentally ill others. In Indonesia, there are only a few who care about this problem. With the commemoration of World Mental Health Day, it is expected that people around the world will show more care about the existence of people who are mentally ill. Well, that was Miss Leni today over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on World Mental Health Day. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miss Leni on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRA World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Mariati, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In addition to shortwave 9525 kHz, you can also listen to this program through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id or through mobile application RRI Play and RRI World Service on your smartphones. In today's edition, I'll introduce you to Macy Ben. Tight competition in the music industry does not make Missy Ben Dieter. The Jambi band has even more stable career in the entertainment industry. Although it is still a new band, Missy Ben's for personal is consistent with blues music. VOI listeners, let's listen to the first song entitled Kaki Kaku or Stiff Leg.
Kaki Having separated with friends in one band in Jambi and cannot be together again, catch their dreams in Jakarta, did not make Anna and Acha discouraged. Earlier, Anna and Acha joined a group named Misekeris, which all personnel were women. Supported by Rusdi L. John, FM Jambi, Anna and Acha insisted to realize their dream to be popular musicians and went to the capital city, Jakarta. Arriving in Jakarta, they agreed to change their music concept to be more simple and easy to remember. Mizi is taken from Greek word, meaning young, and a new concept which is more fresh and unique, namely rock and roll. Through a tying audition process, Kara was chosen as the vocalist because her character vocal is suitable with the new concept of Mizi, and Randy with character of thick rock and roll guitar in every Mizi song. Free Oil listeners, let's listen to the next songs from Mizi entitled Larang Terus. Late 2011 gave fortune to Mizi. They were contracted by one of labels, and the label decided to use Dewik and Pai's song as Mizi hit single entitled Kamu Nggak Rock and Roll or You Are Not Rock and Roll. With various business considerations, the label decided to produce Mizi album and edit with 4 songs composed by Mizi and 1 song composed by the personnel of God Bless band Abadi Susman entitled Rock and Roll Hidupku or Rock and Roll My Life. In the process of producing the music, Mizi was helped by Abadi Susman, Bintang Idrianto, and Epaphras Samsara. Almost all Mizi songs were inspired by the words rock and roll legendary bands. With this concept, Mizi hopes their album can receive by Indonesian music lovers. Produced by Glossy Record Indonesia, Mizi album entitled Fresh Noise of Rock and Roll with hit single Kamu Gak Rock and Roll was released. VOI listeners, to conclude Music Corner for today, here is the last song entitled Kamu Gak Rock and Roll. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
semua pertanyaan harus bisa aku jelaskan. Jawabnya hidupku harus bebas, bukan terikat mati. Peraturan di hidupku hanya satu yang ku tahu. Jawabnya hidupku harus bebas, bukan terakur pasti.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Ku tertegun melihatmu, cantiknya bukan kepala. Apakah dia melihatku? Andaikan aku gagah dan rupawan, dia pasti mencintaiku.
Jatuh hati.
Aku bagaikan Arjuna, gagah rupawan diriku, dia pasti naksir denganku. Tapi andaikan aku banyak, pasti mencintaiku. Nasib, nasib.
Banyak uang,
gagah rupawan, ya sebentar saja.
Yang paling penting bahwa dirimu harus punya cinta.
Kau lihatlah diri ini, perlu kaya dan gagal, hanya bermodalkan cinta. Tapi sampai saatnya telah tiba, aku gak ada yang mau.
Kamu gak tahu.
Sekarang sudah saatnya, kamu semua harus punya, bukan cuma punya cinta. Tapi percayalah kata-kataku, suatu saat pasti bisa.
Bisa cinta dong, bisa kok.
Walau bermodalkan cinta.
Kita bisa.
Kalau muka gimana? Walau bermodalkan muka.
Bisa. Kalau uang gimana?
Walau bermodalkan uang.
Bisa.
Walau bermodalkan cinta. Walau bermodalkan cinta. Walau bermodalkan cinta. Walau bermodalkan cinta. Walau bermodalkan cinta.
Walau bermodalkan cinta.
Nih, muka bisa enggak?
Enggak.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Senjata dan pasukan untuk siapa? terlalu berbelit. Tak akan ada sebuah ramuan kimia yang bisa menawarkan perdebatan kita.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.